Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs, and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visit Scotland.
Just cut me a loose with a soulful song.
Don't blame me. Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with UK-based jazz vocalist and pianist Jeremy Sassoon. We caught up with him about his new 2026 album, Older and Wiser, and his career in music. In the beginning, he went to medical school, but he always played music. This would eventually become his destiny. He launched his solo career in 2011 as a vocal artist with a distinctive and evocative style encompassing genres of jazz, blues, and soul. He is widely acclaimed for his natural, soulful voice, dynamic piano playing, and his entertaining repartee as a frontman. Over the years, he's headlined sellout shows at places like Ronnie Scott's, the 606 Club, and the Jazz Cafe. This new project is a storytelling album with most of the tracks reflecting the emotional challenges presented by a particular life event or stage. We cover the whole story and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
I'm looking forward to getting into your latest album, Older and Wiser, and your career. So again, thank you for taking a minute out. I'm looking forward to peeling back all of the layers. I appreciate it.
Great.
So let's begin this journey with 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing our lives, especially for musicians. How did you get through that COVID era, and how has it changed the way that you live and create and play today?
It's interesting. I loved it. What happened over here in England is so all the gigs stopped. So straight away, all the gigs stopped. And I had a punishingly busy gig schedule. You know, this is the way that I used to run my career, was there was a lot of quantity. So when it stopped, if you were self-employed, and I can't remember what you needed to prove, the government then actually gave you a payment to cover lost earnings while you were there. So we sort of stopped gigging, and I actually qualified for these payments, and I loved it. Actually, it was great to have a rest. The problem was that my previous career had been in medicine, and all my friends who were in medicine from years back, they were really having a really tough time while I was having a really easy time. And I felt guilty. And so what I did was I started, a lot of artists started doing this, Facebook Live shows, which they broadcast across the world, and decided to raise money for the National Health Service, the NHS over here. So I started doing, I think I did about 8 of these shows on a Saturday evening. And we got loads of people watching it, and I raised sort of like £14,000, and it got a lot of attention over here on the radio, and I felt less guilty, raised some money for my friends who were working hard, I just had to think very creatively as to what to do during that time. I started a busking thing for all the musicians in Manchester. I booked several locations outside, which we were allowed to do outside, just me and a drummer. I would sing and play piano, a battery-operated keyboard that I bought, get a of my favorite drummers, and the two of us would go out somewhere and invite all the other professional musicians who were desperate to play music. They just hadn't played for a while. And we had these fantastic sessions there. And again, we raised some money for that. But also during lockdown, I also had an operation on my throat. I developed some sort of lump on my throat, and that put me out for a while. So it was very eventful in many ways for me, the lockdown.
This spring, Uber Eats has you covered. Whether you're celebrating mom, dad, or your favorite grad, not all of us are great planners. And with the Uber Eats gift hub, you don't have to be. Send flowers, perfume, champagne, or just their favorite meal straight to their door. Gifts arrive in as little as 25 minutes. And you can add a personalized video message for that additional so not last minute touch. So this spring, get a leg up on gift giving with Uber Eats. Last minute gifts that land every time. Must be 21 or older to purchase alcohol. Product availability varies per region. See app for details.
So let's hop into your latest album, Older and Wiser, real storytelling album. Talk to me a little bit about what your vision was, how it developed.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, I started off, these songs are songs that I've actually been playing for some time. And I've noticed that some of the songs on gigs that I do connect really, really strongly with audiences, like particularly strongly, like peers and coming up to me and always mentioning these tunes. And I thought, right, I'm going to put these down. And then I realized that each of them had something in common, which was they were all about a life stage, an emotional life stage. And the album is 9 songs, all sort of an emotional life stage for a particular individual or couple, and they're telling their story as such. So, for instance, one of them is by Mark Cohen. The Things We've Handed Down is the song, and it's about a young couple who are having a baby. So this is about that life stage, and they are talking to their unborn child about what traits he would pick up from each of his parents or grandparents. It's an incredibly emotive song for people who have had kids. And so that was a life stage. Janice Ian's song at 17 is about adolescence and the cruelty of being at school as a girl in the teenage years. Stop This Train by John Mayer is really a sort of middle-aged man who's worried about losing his parents as time keeps marching on, and he just wishes he could sort of stop the clock, the metaphorical train. Old and Wise by the Alan Parsons Project is about a guy who's reaching the end of his life. So they all have this in common. It's a life cycle. It was if it was a sort of concept album, it was a life cycle. And this kind of made it powerful. That's where it started. I learned many other things about what it was about after I'd finished, but I'll leave that for now. I'll come back to that.
Yeah, for sure. So what are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from this album?
I am hoping for an emotional connection. It's a very emotive album with experiences that people really do recognize in themselves. But that's the lyrics, that's the subject matter. The music is really what it's all about as well. You know, the quality of the musicians on it is just second to none. Basically it was recorded as a trio with my trio. So I'm singer, pianist, I have a bass player, I have a drummer. But then I called in various guest musicians on harmonica, on string. I had a string section on a couple of the tunes. There's a great electric guitarist from up north in England called Mike Walker, who's sensational, who does a bit. Flugelhorns, nylon guitars. So it's a trio plus guests. So the music is really strong. The lyrics are really emotive. And I, to be honest with you, I just hope people connect in their own way, I, whichever way they feel they want to connect.
So prior to your career beginning in earnest in 2011, take me back to the beginnings. How did music, how did jazz, how did this career begin and take hold?
Yeah. So when I was a 7-year-old kid, I was one of these kids who was sort of reluctant, what do you call them? The wonder kids, and I got picked up and set kind of almost pushed into the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester. It was an entirely classical music institution. I was 7 years old. I picked up the trumpet and I played trumpet and piano. I did this for 11 years, every Saturday. And then when I was 18 and everyone thought I was going to go into music, I kind of rebelled and went into medicine. So I went to medical school down in London, did medicine for 12 years, eventually becoming a psychiatrist. I was a career hospital psychiatrist. And then basically after that, I went back to music. My I certainly remember my biggest, I mean, my first musical influence outside of classical music as a kid was when I was 12, when I heard Carlos Santana. He was like my, I just went, it just blew my mind. And the second time it blew my mind, it was with one of your locals, a certain Mr. Pat Metheny, who absolutely blew my, and to this date, Pat Metheny is probably, well, still, he's number one. And I should be seeing him in a couple of months' time, and I've followed him for many decades. He's been a huge influence on me. So those two guys, and then sort of, you know, Keith Jarrett as a pianist, Keith Jarrett, Oscar Peterson, Miles Davis as a trumpet player, and then the soul, you know, the world of soul, you know, Earth, Wind and Fire and Stevie Wonder, and, you know, all these things over years, Mahavishnu Orchestra, the fusion days of Weather Report, and I was right there at the time and saw all these guys and Jaco, and so they all fed into this soup. And by the while I was a doctor and a medical student, by the time I left medicine, I had to start my own musical career from scratch, and it's taken a while to shape. I actually only started singing about 15 years ago, at the age of 10, in my 40s. So I'm a late starter with the singing, but piano I've been playing for a long time.
You know, right when the pandemic, before it began, I moved to a little town, Lee's Summit, Missouri, which is the hometown of Pat Metheny.
That's
where I
right.
Live now. Yeah. So
that's right. All right.
Yeah, yeah. He just came through town, I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He hadn't been here for a long time, and then I think a year ago he came through, and now I think he's back on his regular rotation.
He's relentless. I don't know the touring schedule of the guy. Yeah. He's the side eye three at the moment, isn't it? And he's bringing that over to England. At the same time, he's doing his 50th year of Bright Size Life.
Right.
So he's redoing Bright Size Life for the North Sea Jazz Festival in Holland when he comes over in July. So, yeah. Wow.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So take me back to the first live show that you saw that blew you away when you were growing up.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
The first one that blew me away was actually a band from here, from Manchester, actually, which was 10cc. And we have, you know, my favorite venue is the Manchester Apollo. And I was 11 or 12. And, you know, so that was, you got to understand that my background at that age as a kid, 11 and 12, was sort of like poppy pop music and classical music, very serious classical music. So just going to a pop rock gig with great musicians, that really hit me. And then a Santana, the same venue, Santana came. This is 1977, I think, 78, around Moonflower time. And absolutely blew all the Latin percussion and everything, just and rock guitar just absolutely blew me away. So they were two, but I'll tell you a fantastic Pat Metheny one. So I went to medical school. I was in my first year or second year. It was when he had released the album First Circle. And do you remember that album?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Starts with a dreadful brass band marching in, the thing that starts, and then it just go crazy and wonderful. Anyway, he was coming. I had tickets to see him. My medical school was in London. I had tickets to see him at the Hammersmith Odeon. Fantastic venue. I'm going to see him on whatever it was. Let's say it was a Friday. And a guy who knows nothing about music, a medical student friend of mine, comes into the bar in the medical school and he says, Jeremy, your guy, what's he called? Pat Methylated Spirits. Pat Metheny. He goes, yeah, that's the guy. He says, he's playing tomorrow night, Thursday night. I said, no, he's not. He's playing on Friday night. He's playing. I've got tickets. He says, no, he's playing on Thursday night. They just announced it. One announcement on the radio just now at lunchtime that he's playing in a pub. And I'm like, what? And he goes, no, they're playing in a pub. There's only 200 people maximum, and he's just playing in a pub in London. And I'm like, that's crazy. And we checked it out, and he's playing at a pub. They had a night off on the tour, and they just decided to play. So they played in a pub called the Half Moon Pub in Putney in London, and it was just acoustic. So they didn't do the Pat Metheny group gig, electric gig they were doing the next night. They just all turned up with acoustic instruments and just played standards and stuff. And one announcement on the radio, and we got tickets. It was that really blew my mind.
That's cool. That's very cool. So when did you decide that music was going to be your path? After going to medical school, was it always incubating in you that you were going to have this music life?
I was always doing music, always, wherever I was. As a musician, as a doctor, I was doing lots of music. I was playing some sort of gig somewhere or musically directing shows at the medical school. So I always did music. Did I know it was going to be my career? I didn't know it was going to be my career. I just, when I left medicine, I left quite suddenly, and I just sort of went. And to be honest with you, music wasn't the dream. It wasn't that kind of like Disney dream of doing that. Actually, I just wanted to leave medicine. I needed to leave medicine. I just wanted to do so. And music was the only thing I knew how to make money. And it was the only way I could pay the bills. I play the piano, so I go and do gigs. So at that stage, it wasn't the dream. But I worked and worked at it, stuck with it, doing it, and kind of got closer and closer to my place in music. I kind of like landed on the floor of a jungle that had no structure. I spent the next 30 years finding my place. And in a way, to be honest with you, you know, through blues and jazz and music of Ray Charles or the other stuff that I do, I kind of think this album is kind of emblemic. It's a kind of an emblem of, I think I have found exactly my spot. And that's why I like this album. It really fits. It's a really good fit with me. And so, yeah, I kind of like just worked away, you know, gigged and played and done whatever, done some amazingly exciting things and a lot of not very exciting. Most professional musicians will tell you the same. It's not all exciting, but sort of, you know, it's now got really interesting. And I think the album is really a true place. One of the things I was going to try and say is that after I recorded the album, I kind of realized what else it was. And I only realized this afterwards. So I said it was life stages, it's emotional, like, you know, kind of people's emotions. And in order to be a kind of storyteller, because I'm not the composer of the songs, but I do my own, they're my own interpretations, my own arrangements. And in order to do that, you know, I have to listen to the story of the person whose song, you know, kind of telling the story, sort of digest it, sort of repackage it and reinterpret it and deliver it in my voice. That's what I have to do. And I realized that was exactly what I did as a psychiatrist. I realized that was the identical job. So it would appear that I'm a sort of listener and a storyteller, and I was doing it in psychiatry, and now I do it with music. I think this will come over when people listen to the actual album.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you like the best about being a professional musician? What gets you up every day to love what you do, to evolve and to embrace this life?
Freedom. Freedom. So that was my problem in medicine. In medicine, I loved medicine. I still love medicine. I still love psychiatry, but I was working in a system. At university, I'm working in a system. At your school, you're working in a system. What I love is that, yeah, I'm free. I literally wake up in the morning and I'm answerable to myself, and I can go on some adventure, musical adventure, or play where I want to play, not play where I want to play. I love that. And so life has become an adventure through music. I love that freedom, the freedom to be able to express myself. And that's the number one thing.
So more specifically, why do you love this music we call jazz?
Do you know what? It's interesting. It's really hard to It's really hard to say because to me, it's a feeling, you know, it's like anything, you know, I mean, I can't explain to you why I like the taste of curry, you know, Indian food. It's a feeling. If I think about it, I could probably spend a long time trying to tell you what it is, but it's just, I eat it and it brings out all sorts of feelings and sensations. And with jazz, as I say, it's exactly the same. To be honest, I should prepare an answer for that question, Joe, one day. But actually, like I say, it's even more generic than that. I hear it and it switches buttons and it's a very organic reaction in me.
It's a great answer. No, that's a great answer in itself. So I'm curious, everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand, but you were on the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Well, like I say, I think, again, I come back to this album. I think this album has sort of kind of taught me a lot more of what I am. Sort of music-wise, genre-wise, I'm kind of really clear that I sit somewhere with jazz, blues, even classical, jazz, blues, classical, and some of the sort of singer-songwritery kind of... So musically, that's who I am. I definitely am a band leader. There's no doubt about that, that I love... I love sort of, you know, having great musicians around me that are, you know, kind of doing arrangements, writing arrangements for particular musicians in mind. You'll see, you know, the last track on this album, for instance, is called Old and Wise by the Alan Parsons Project. Now, they finished their song with a minute and a half saxophone solo full of reverb but very, very intense saxophone. And I never wanted that. When I did mine, I had a particular guitarist in mind and I knew that I wanted this guy to just rip it up. And we got him on it. And I'd love you to have a listen to that last minute and a half of Mike Walker shredding on that. So, you know, over my career, I've just got to know so many musicians. And obviously when I travel a lot to play, I have a sort of a, I mean, in the old days, you know, there was a guy who went touring and he had a woman in every city. Well, I have a bass player in every city and a drummer in every city and a sax player in every city. So, you know, when I play in Berlin, I have German guys, and when I'm in London, I'm with London guys. So I really have got to, ended up in the center of a really big group of really wonderful top-notch musicians. And I really love that.
So if anybody wants to get a physical copy or download a copy of the album, catch you live, any of the good business, where's the best place for them to go?
Okay, so if they want a physical copy of the CD, then go to my website, jeremysassoon.com. There is a listen page, which is has my CDs. If they want to buy a digital copy, then on Bandcamp. But otherwise, the album's everywhere. It's on, you know, kind of Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all of the Deezer, Tidal, all the streaming platforms. It's everywhere and has been, just for the last 3 days. It's very exciting. There's a lot of people have been listening and getting in contact. It's exciting times.
Okay, I love it. I will put all of these links in the show notes. Jeremy, so great to meet you, sir. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your story.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Best of luck with the release.
Good luck with the World Cup.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players, singers, and minds in the UK, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Jeremy for swinging on by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the Neon Jazz. jazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Let go. Whoa, let go. Let go of these, my Frenchman Street blues.
Neon Jazz.